live so bad you wanna die. Ever cried and cried until you can't cry? Like, why am I alive? What's the purpose to life? Ever wanna live so bad you wanna die? Ever cried and cried until you can't cry? Like, why am I alive?
Hi, welcome to Boys Do Cry. I'm your host, Ram Reyes.
I am Paulina Rodriguez. Your host, Paulina Rodriguez. Here, I'll just hold this, actually.
And we have a guest today. Can you introduce yourself?
Yes. Hello, I'm Crystal. My artist name is Gooey Stranger. So sometimes people call me Gooey or Crystal.
Yeah, she actually made our new logo for Boys Do Cry. Hopefully by the time you're hearing this, it's up. Because I'm still making it.
So thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, no problem. And it's always like a process when you make something that's physical art and not necessarily digital.
Yeah.
It's like there's a process to adopt it into like a digital face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thank you. Yeah, I'm doing things right now to transfer it into digital, mm-hmm. but still retains that nice aesthetic mm-hmm. that I love. but we'll start off today with how's everyone feeling? Because I want to start off every show like that. how's everyone feeling today? You know?
Yeah. How are you feeling, Ram?
I'm feeling pretty good, actually. Mm. I did my puzzle, which I do every morning. If you follow me on Instagram, follow me on Instagram _@Ramwell.
You haven't finished it, right?
No, I'm okay. I actually, that's kind of a part of my routine now, because mm-hmm. I kind of identified that I think I might have pure OCD. Wait, okay, I do. Mm-hmm. I took a quiz online.
That's bulletproof right there.
I think I do have a obsessive tendency, which is you've all known if you heard the past podcast. But I was kind of tricking myself into okay, if I'm obsessive, I might as well obsess over a puzzle and not mm-hmm. over things in my life that mm-hmm. might actually have huge consequences.
That's an interesting outlet. It's like a logical outlet, putting the pieces together.
Yeah, there's some lessons I'm learning that once I finish it, I will share.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I heard a spoiler in another podcast about that puzzle.
Oh, yeah. Don't spoil it. Everyone needs to.
I'm excited. And I've been really thinking about it psychologically, too. So
it's kind of. Hopefully no one on Instagram is listening to this because you guys never clicked the link in the bio. So
wait, can you tell?
Yeah, I can tell. I could tell.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There's because I have a business, quote unquote business account, mm-hmm. so I could see who clicks the links. Mm-hmm. Or not who, but how many people. There's a few, but what was I gonna say? Oh yeah, I was thinking about that and I'm getting everyone who views my story mm-hmm. invested because yeah. they're they see it every day that I do it.
Yeah.
And then they're kind of oh, I want to see where this goes.
I do. I want to see the finished product and then I want to see you destroy it.
I can't wait for that to happen. I'm going to televise it.
Live stream it.
Basically, yeah. I'm going to make a big deal. This day, I'm going to place the final piece and then I'm going to.
I want to see it.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's.
Order and chaos.
Exactly. Mm. And shout out to Hugh Jackman for giving me this idea because he does it and it's so good. He took 4 months. 4 months of this, the picture of Van Gogh with the squiggles and
shit. Yeah.
And he destroyed it. 4 months of work.
Does he talk about the process? Is that what got you into the idea?
Well, he kind of just says this is pleasure, pain. And then and I was like, I love that. But yeah. How about you guys? What are you guys feeling today? How's your day started?
I went for a run in the morning.
Damn, so that nice. Was good. Good job.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel. I feel like my emotions have been a roller coaster. Right now, I feel like I want to cry. And I don't know why. I feel like I've been going 110% this whole mm-hmm. year.
Yeah.
And I finally decided to stop. And I was like, holy shit. I feel a lot of things. And not all of it is bad. A lot of it is good.
Yeah.
I think it's just I'm very emotional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes you got to learn how that you don't need to do anything.
Yeah. And also, like, oh, my phone just went off. Last week, I spent a lot of time, like, friends that were going through a lot. And, like, mm-hmm. that is always hard because I'm very sensitive. So, like, it's like I'm a sponge.
Mm-hmm.
So I need time to, like, decompress and, like, not take on their baggage.
Yeah. But still be there for them, right?
Yeah.
That's the hard part. It's, like, balancing
mm-hmm.
that.
That's what I'm trying to learn. Like, how can I be a friend but, like, not... get so involved.
Yeah.
I think when it comes to being like an empath or being someone who is sensitive to the people around them mm-hmm. and kind of like absorbs or picks up on energy, it's kind of hard because that means like you have a heart and you want to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like there's this self-care that needs to be inserted into that equation.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're not well enough to show up and like be a friend, then, you know, you need to show up for yourself and kind of build yourself.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Because I had one day where, like, this guy that I had kind of just met, he kind of, like, unloaded everything on me.
Mm.
And that was different. Like, I felt used. I didn't feel like I was, a friend in that situation. I just felt like I was just being used as a way to, like, let go of his shit.
Yeah, but I feel that, too. But it could go both ways, mm-hmm. though. Like, when you're the one unloading, you feel like... you're using them.
No, I don't know. It's just different.
I feel that sometimes when I unload on people, I'm just like, I'm so, like, I feel apologetic for even
you're probably aware of it.
Yeah. And it's like, but at the same time, it's tricky. I don't really know how to, but we'll figure it out. How about you, Crystal? How are you feeling?
Well, yesterday was 4th of July.
Oh, yeah.
And 4th of July's for me are notoriously just problematic, just dealing with family.
Mm-hmm.
It's like another family type holiday where you kind of reevaluate where you are with people.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday was like really intense and heavy for me. Today I woke up and I put on David Bowie and Queen's Under Pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I just sang my heart out. And I'm like, okay, I'm better. Exactly.
Dude, yeah, singing really does
help.
Yeah, mm-hmm. there's times where when I'm driving and I would just put Kanye's Yeezus on and then I would just really scream, especially since he put in the screams in there so I could scream along.
You're like, it's part of a song.
Yeah, so I have to scream. So it's just a nice, I think I've learned that you need to get, when you have a feeling inside, you need to have like a physical outlet,
mm-hmm.
whether that be singing, running, punching a pillow, screaming into a pillow,
mm-hmm.
crying. You need something to let it out.
Yeah.
And people need to listen to their bodies. That feeling is telling you something. And you're not your feeling, but you need to get it out because if you hold it in, it's just kind of like, it sucks.
Yeah.
But yeah. And you work with we'll get into that. Like, you work with a mental health organization?
A nonprofit.
Yeah. What's it called?
It's called Youth in Mind, and it's based out of the Bay Area.
Mm-hmm.
And it works with youth who have been impacted with the foster care system, juvenile justice, or mental health.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been involved with them for about 7-8 years. And it's been kind of transformative. I've been able to kind of like have my experiences out there and what I've learned from them in regards to the mental health system. Mm-hmm. I've been receiving therapies from like 12 years old and on.
Oh,
and nice. I was in kinship care, which is like if your family takes care of you, it's not technically foster care,
mm-hmm.
but they call it kinship care. So, I was involved in systems from a very young age.
Mm-hmm.
So in therapy, I was able to kind of take a lot of the stuff that I didn't know what was going on and process it bit by bit.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're involved in systems, there's a lot of things that happen, like lack of appropriate services and all these other issues that come along with it. And I was able to have like a stage to voice those things.
Mm-hmm.
And to voice that there are better ways to go about helping people. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Oh yeah, I wanted to ask, like, what do you exactly do in the nonprofit?
So, since I'm 29, I'm part of the community board now. Mm-hmm. I was like a youth who was helping build curriculum. But now as a community board member, I'm able to help youth who are incoming build the curriculum and to find innovative ways to get their voice and choice out there. So we'll do like workshops and we'll work with people on different needs that they have in their systems or communities. And it'll be like a few hours of the workshop, and people would put all their information down. And at the end, you would like dot sticker vote, like, mm-hmm. And whatever kind of bubble to the surface, they would be like priorities in the next campaign.
Oh, okay.
So, right now we're building a mental health bill of rights for the state of California.
What?
That's dope. And yeah, it is.
Well, you guys are still building it, but what's it like? What's going to be the gist of it? Like,
A focus on community wellness, being able to have holistic, and alternative options to, the medical model, to put in there, how there is a lack of resources.
Oh yeah.
So definitely. It's like intermixing all these different needs. Mm. And we're trying to build like a visual policy about it too. Cause when it comes to explaining some of these things, it can get like technical,
yeah.
Especially in the legal language. So we're aiming to like build a visual policy so people can see it at a glance
too. Yeah.
So that's in the works.
I feel like that's really in like just getting involved in like activism, because when you deal with like mental health issues, it can make you feel like a victim. It can make you feel very small. And
yeah,
for me,
and helpless.
Yeah. And for me, like getting involved like has made me feel like I have that power. Like I'm not helpless. I'm not like this victim, you know? It helps you like take control back of your own life. Yeah. I feel.
And you work with a lot of kids. Do you? Oh, who do you work with? Like what kind of people do you see often?
Well, the age range is 12 to 28, but most of the people who are involved making the big moves are, I would say 18 to 28 would be the main age that I'm working with.
Oh, okay. And yeah. Like what kind of stuff do you guys do then? Like.
So besides the curriculum building in the current campaign, we've been going to different communities. Last year we went to Humboldt County. We did an event in the Bay Area. We did an event in San Diego, and I just came back from a Long Beach, and where were we last? Alameda in the Bay Area again. Mm. So it's been that campaign building, and also. There's also, I'm trying to rack my brain because that's been like the main focus lately.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've been able to put on wellness events. We put on a couple in the Bay Area and one in Humboldt, where we incorporate the eight dimensions of wellness and we make workshops around it. So people from the community can come in and learn different methods of like, attaining wellness across the dimensions. And it's really great to see like family members and kids come out. There would be like a bubble blowing station or making like glitter bottles and stuff like that.
Yeah, I think we need to do community events here.
That's what I'm saying.
Because I was thinking about that the other day. I'm like, I want like people talking about it in the open or just like people that feel the same way and, you know, coming together and like, oh, we're not alone. There's people here. Yeah.
There are people here. Definitely. Like just hearing the podcast and listening to you guys, I was kind of surprised that you guys share a lot of the ideas and passions that I do around this community and around mental health.
So. Yeah.
It's been great.
Oh, thank you. Because this is all I think about. I mean, like, because I'm always with my mind, and
yeah,
my mind decides, like, you know what, let's think about, and you know, it's a constant battle. But since you've been in the system for like 12 years, what have you learned? Or like since 12, sorry. What have you learned? Like, impart some knowledge to us and the listeners. Maybe that could help, you know. Like,
that you do have a voice in how you receive your care to some extent. My first therapist, I was very unhappy with, like, at around 12.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that I could speak up and get a different therapist.
Yeah.
Until I was reassigned a few months later. And it was like a godsend, because the next therapist I had was interested in my life and had some really good feedback. So that would be one piece of advice, that you do have a voice and choice to some extent in your care, and to exercise that. I've also been into some of the behavioral hospitals that are in town, like CBHC, Community Behavioral Health Center. It's when you're dealing with mental health crisis, either you're 5150, like suicidal or homicidal, there's a crisis center you can go to, which I do not have really good reviews about.
But oh, is it?
Every time I go there, I file like a grievance and give comments on how they can improve. Like, even in my mental health state that I needed emergency services, I never hesitated to get out a piece of paper and write down how they could do it better, or lapses in their care. I've seen some pretty horrific treatment. And
It's
have you been there?
No, I haven't, but
it's called Exodus.
Yeah, we'll
Exodus.
Just cut it out. But if we'll just can we even say, I don't care, but it's Exodus. Yeah. It's called, it's here in Fresno. And
you said there was a, I remember you told me there was a really bad experience.
Yeah, there's like when I called the trigger warning suicide. When I called the suicide hotline, they're like, oh yeah, there's Exodus. And I Googled it immediately. I'm like, I'm not going there. I might be worse for me.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was kind of like worried. I was just like, damn, this is the only place that we have in Fresno.
Yeah. Mm. And to me, having gone there a few times, it's really upsetting that that's the only 24-hour crisis for adults.
Mm-hmm.
And man, the few times I've been there, I've had to file complaints. And you never want that to have to happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But when you see people getting mistreated or not getting the care that they deserve and need.
Yeah.
You have to be the one to speak up.
Yeah.
You know, even if your voice trembles.
Yeah. There was so many negative reviews on there. And someone needs to. Yeah. We'll look into that.
And there's also like issues with crisis services in general with mental health. And it's happening throughout California, but from what I can speak to specifically in Fresno, when you get on a 5150, you'll go to a hospital, maybe community, maybe somewhere else, and they'll have to put you in a bed in a hallway till they have a space to put you in.
Mm-hmm.
They'll put you in a behavioral unit on the hospital grounds, and you have to wait to see a social worker that could take till the next day. And then that's like one day of your 3-day hold.
Yeah.
And then when you finally get to a hospital, you only have 2 days left to get those services there.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's not enough. And they want to keep you an additional up to 14 days, which is unfair.
Yeah.
You know, if you're looking for like emergency care, now you're wrapped into a maybe 2-week deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's happened where people had to fight for their case to be heard and to have a mental health advocate on hand because they want to keep you a long time. And if you go near a weekend, I mean, I don't mean to like make it sound scary, but I'm bringing these points up because there is room for change and improvement.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like our whole mental health, like, system is just broken.
Too medical model, honestly.
Yeah, it's like people don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Or like even, and that's preventing people from like seeking care like not even just crisis. Like I don't, like I said, I believe that we shouldn't even get to that point of crisis for people to seek help. I mean, because I think especially not just mental health, but like every time we just wait until it's so bad and then like, oh, we should do something.
Yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't wait.
Yeah.
Like just, you know, but.
I was going to say also like how you talk about like holistic approaches to that. Like that's something that I feel like works for me as well. Like because therapy for me hasn't been enough. Like therapy helps, but I need like other things. And I feel like that's also something people don't know. Like they have to find the things that work for them. You know, like if it's like meditation or exercise or your diet or like have being more spiritual in tune with yourself, like whatever helps you so you don't get to that crisis.
Please. Yeah. What helps you? Like what's your self-care routine?
Well, in front of me, there's some sage and Palo Santo and a stone. So I incorporate those into my spiritual wellness.
Oh, for the viewers that don't know, what are those exactly? Or viewers, listeners.
The listeners.
The listeners. What are these? Because they might not know what it is. It's like, what do you describe these? What are these called? I forgot.
They're like to cleanse.
It's like plant medicine.
It's like plant medicine. Plant medicine. It's like, and then you burn it and then like it smells good.
It's your vibes. No, it cleanses like your aura and stuff, right? Mm-hmm.
It can cleanse the energy, cleanse the space that you're in, and also help quell some of that ancestral-ish going on within you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what else do you do?
I make art.
Oh, yeah. Art is very... Yeah.
I love to draw and paint. And I feel like whenever I'm feeling a little bit more emotional or it's more fluid, I paint. Because it just, I need that wetness and the blending to happen. And then when I feel a little bit more jagged or kind of like fine lined, I like to use a Sharpie or like a brush tip pen. And there's like, there's a lot of healing that comes from it. Cause I just chase this feeling or I chase this vision out. And when it comes to the other side, and I see what is created, I get a better idea of what's going on inside my head.
Mm-hmm. I like when we talked before this and you just said like art is magic.
Yeah.
I feel that. I feel that about music as well. Like it's magic. Like,
yeah, you're literally creating something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very like, for me, it's photography. Well, it's photography, writing or whatever. But I think people need to have their outlet. They need to find out what will get them to get those feelings out somehow. Although I want to ask both of y'all, because there was this guy on Twitter that I saw and it made a huge ruckus because I didn't agree with it. They're like,
was it Kanye?
Kanye has made some questionable decisions and tweets. But, that's his hero.
I love
Kanye too.
Yeah, see? Yeah. We all love Kanye.
He's complicated.
Like all of us, you know, he's a complicated,
flawed. He makes good music. I think I just learned not to idolize celebrities and musicians.
You shouldn't or idolize anybody.
No. Exactly. Maybe just Jesus.
Except for me, yeah. Idolize me. Just kidding. No, but they said something about the best artists are the depressed ones. I forgot the exact tweet, but it was basically saying that like you have to have a shitty or something life to make good art. But at the same time, I don't want to keep having my, I don't want my life to be shitty for me to make good art. Because I've had that talk in therapy where I told my therapist, I was like, if I'm not depressed, then will my art be shitty now? Like, I won't have like the source, which is, I might say is my depression. But what do you guys think about that idea? Because I'll tell you what I think, but I want to know what you guys think first.
I think that is one way to create. Like, you're like transforming pain into something else.
Yeah.
But also, I don't feel like you always have to come from there. Like, I told myself too, like, you can create from love. You don't always have to create from pain.
Yeah.
You don't always, like, you don't have to identify so strongly with your trauma all the time.
Yeah, because you're not your
trauma. Not defined by it. Like, it doesn't make all of you. It's like a part of you. And you shouldn't, like, put all your weight into it. Because I've done that too, where I'm like, I measure my progress based on like my lows, but I'm like, I shouldn't always do that. And I shouldn't like see how far I've come just like based on like where I was all the time. You know, you can create from love. I think that's even better than pain.
What do you think, Crystal? What do you think?
So this is something that I think about a lot.
Yeah.
And something that like in therapy, I've asked my therapist too. And because it's true, a lot of these things come from this complicated pain or trauma or whatever it may be. It comes from that place. And like, what if I do get better? Does that mean I'm not going to make art anymore? Does that mean I'm not going to be moved to create? And I've been listening to like some lectures and stuff on personality and being a creative person. Mm-hmm. And creativity, it's like in my DNA. It's like mm-hmm. even it's like, if all the trauma gets wiped off, which is impossible.
Don't say that.
Last, but it's really cries on the inside.
Well, it's possible to work through it and to transcend and build on
it. Transcend. You got to go, you got to overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I agree with you guys because I'm like, because I would say that I'm like a bit better than I was before. And that didn't stop me from creating. It actually made me want to create more because now I don't have anything holding me back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's like, whoa, it's freeing. Like I could create whatever I want and it doesn't have to be always depressing.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, I could create other things. So this guy just got dunked on Twitter because everybody was like, because he was making an argument about like, you have to be a poor person, like giving money to artists, like, no one wants to, I don't want to be a starving artist, even though when I was like a teenager, I was like, I guess I'm going to be a starving artist. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be that way, guys.
It's really hard to monetize creativity, though.
Yeah.
It's like creative people, they're creative and they create the best out of this, like all this potentiality. And then when it comes to like, how do you put that in a business plan? How do you market yourself?
I have I have that same like,
it's kind of like a pose. I don't want to be a poser. I don't
I don't want to sell out. But like, you know, we as creators, we are creating something and we deserve to kind of be compensated. Like not even like, I don't want to be rich. I just want to not die. And like, like, for example, I want to do this podcast. I want to get paid for it one day. So I could keep doing it and help people and like not starve. But I don't want to, I'm not thinking that this is going to make me rich or anything.
Yeah.
But like, I think we're in a place in society where people can create what they want and like get compensated for it, you know, even if it's a little bit enough to give them a living wage. Cause people take advantage of like artists all the time. Mm-hmm. We like as artists, any artists, you give something to people that they like, people who say that art is useless, that's bullshit. Like I've seen art that like has helped me through so many things.
Is it that guy that eating the little boy?
Oh my god.
He's like obsessed with Goliath?
Saturn devouring his son.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, wow. Yeah,
I bought a patch of that for my jacket and like I'm gonna iron it on. I gotta buy a new jacket. I gotta iron it on a black one. Because I'm not going to iron out my tan. But I really do want to see that painting in Madrid. Mm-hmm. That's my mission. Is I will be, and I'm going to stare at it for a whole day. I'm just going to sit in front of it. Take it in. Like, why did he paint this? But yeah, that's, yeah, art and your mental wealth, or mental well-being, they're kind of connected, right? Like,
yes.
Like,
I feel like the more that I pay attention, like, music is almost like prayer, I would say.
Yeah.
And I've noticed like how music heals me, which is crazy. Yeah. And I feel like art does the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just like, just being surrounded by it or listening to it, like I have healing. Like I listened to a playlist that I made last year and it was an anxiety playlist. So whenever I had panic attacks, like constantly. Mm-hmm. And I just like looked at it and I was like, wow, this is why I'm here today. Because I listened to these songs on repeat.
We should share that on... put in the show notes.
My anxiety playlist.
We should make a Boys Do Cry. Oh, we should make a Boys Do Cry playlist on Spotify.
That'd be really good.
Under pressure.
Sorry, guys. It's just going to be Kanye.
But like, I don't know. You have to find like, for people that are struggling, you have to find like these anchors in your life.
Yeah, your
like
outlets.
Things that will like help you hold on and while you like get past the feelings and feel them and you're in a more stable place.
Yeah. What was your anchor? Like, so drawing and painting.
But that can also like be be really chaotic too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like if that becomes my anchor, it's the whole ship too, and it's wild in a storm.
Mm-hmm. You need to have multiple anchors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because sometimes one can be like wild and so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have plants. Mm-hmm. And I've been trying to like add to the collection. So I'll put like my hands in dirt and I'll work with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll make me like really calm before I go to sleep.
Yeah.
Another anchor of mine is podcasts. I love listening to podcasts so much.
Other than ours?
Are the only one, Ram.
What's your favorite podcast? Well, what are you listening to right now? I want to know.
Okay. So, you know how there's like an explosion of comedians having podcasts? So
there's too many podcasts now.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone has a podcast.
Yeah.
But Joe Rogan.
Oh, okay.
I really like Joe Rogan. One. Theo Vaughn. He's like a Joe Rogan friend, he's just funny. He's so silly. Joey Diaz, which is another Joe Rogan friend. They call him Uncle Joey.
Yeah.
He's Cuban and he's really intense. I don't recommend it if you're not into like raunchy comedy because he's off the walls. He's tip top Magoo. He's so silly. What else do I like to listen to? I like lectures too.
Ooh.
So my favorite professor is Jordan Peterson.
Oh, I like Jordan Peterson, even though he's kind of kooky sometimes. He gets into trouble.
He has a little hand in the politics too.
Yeah.
So he
I've discussed this with a lot of my friends, especially with Tommy, because he is kind of in the alt-right. He's been accused of being in the alt-right. But I don't think so. Although, you know, you always got to take the best bits of them. Mm-hmm. They're always going to be flawed, you know.
Yeah.
Because I have that struggle right now because like some of the things I'm like listening to, like I'm listening to this audiobook right now called Breaking the Habit of Yourself. It's kind of like, it's kind of like pseudoscience. Like,
who's it by?
Dr. Joe something. I forgot his name. I have it right here, but it kind of goes into kind of pseudoscience like territory, but it kind of helps me. And as long as I don't like, you know, I don't know what I'm saying. It's like, it's because there's some things that I can't explain. And if it helps me, then I guess it's so fine, you know, because it might not be grounded in science fully, which I'm struggling with a lot of like. Because I was not a very spiritual person before my LSD experience, which opened my third eye. No, it opened my mind to like, maybe we're not machines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like we're not just bags of bones. And
I think something science can't explain.
I mean, science tries to, but like, I feel like people get too caught up in science that like, they even refuse to get help for mental. That's why mental health is so hard. Because like, you know, SSRIs, the antidepressants, they barely work.
Yeah.
And sometimes they don't even work. Like I had to go through a bunch. Have you been on, are you on meds or no?
Not anymore.
Not anymore. But were you?
The first time I was hospitalized when I was 17 years old, I left the hospital with 9 different medications. Damn. Going in with like 2.
Yeah.
So I was over-medicated for a little while. Mm-hmm. I even dropped out of high school in 11th grade
because
I couldn't even make it to class. I was so over-medicated.
Yeah.
So that's an issue too.
Yeah.
You know what? Like I went to this poetry slam and one of the girls talked about that she was in therapy since she was like 13. And like all the medication that they gave her, like she couldn't function without it anymore.
Yeah,
and she overdosed because they gave her so many and the cocktail like made her overdose. And now she's trying to quit something that like people prescribed her since she was 13.
And
instead of trying to help her, they just gave her medication.
Yeah, that's the scary part. Which is like that's why I recommend both.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I recommend trying. Also, I don't recommend doctors fucking prescribing like 13 different
right
to like kids to like that's horrible. I can't blame them because they really don't know. We don't know the exact science yet, but like I guess they were just trying too hard, you know. Like I'm reading a book right now called Anti-Fragile, and it's like sometimes yeah, no, this is the lesson of like, sometimes you just got to let it develop a little bit.
Yeah.
But like, because back then, you know, if you think about medical science, they would have bloodletting. Like, they would cut you open and like, yeah, we got to get the bad humors yeah. out through the blood. And like, I feel like that's where we are at our mental health is yeah. we're at the bloodletting stage and we haven't like discovered the actual, not cure, but like treatment, proper treatment. You know?
Yeah, we're not at the finish line. Of like,
we're not even at the start line. We're like having a conversation about starting.
Yeah, yeah. Just barely starting. Yeah, like SSRIs.
And,
yeah. Yeah.
And I think like, I think talking about mental health is really important. It's really like,
yeah.
you should be open because like when I open up, people open up. But I also feel like you can't just talk about this all the time. Like you have to do tangible things. You have to do,
yeah.
That is where I am like, okay, we always talk about it, especially like on social media, like internet activism.
Self-care activism.
Yeah, internet activism, like you're just caring online, but you're not changing anything in the real world.
Yeah. You yeah. don't, your actions don't reflect your words.
And then when people talk about like, you know, when Anthony Bourdain and all those
Anthony
people,
Bourdain, yeah.
When he committed suicide and they're like, talk about that, but then in real life, the way they talk to other people, like that bothers me. That you yeah. bring down other people in real life, but then you're over here saying all these things.
Yeah.
But like, it's like you have to like talk, walk your talk, you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the main thing for me.
Do you have funny, do you have any funny therapy stories?
Remember that therapist I mentioned that I didn't like my first one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So this was around the time I first started drawing. Yeah. Like they would have these really sad faces and kind of stick bodies, but I was trying. So I went to therapy and I wanted to show my drawings because there are some things I didn't have words for yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't speak a lot as a child and that's a whole other story. So like talking took a really long time to get the skill. So when I was in therapy and I had these drawings, during, it was about the end of the session, I was kind of crying and working through some really heavy stuff. And I asked if I could show him some of my drawings, so he could get a better idea. And, there's like this one where it was like my head and it was like in a box and it said like hopeless. Mm-hmm. And, it had all these like scribblings around it. And I showed him. And this was his reaction. Huh. That's interesting.
What the hell?
And I'm like, yeah, it says hopeless right here. And I was crying at the time. And he's like, okay, well, we're out of time today.
What? That's not.
Wow.
That's not how yeah. to get therapists. What the yeah. heck?
He was like, he had like these really big glasses. His hair was just kind of wild. He what just was heck? Over it. It looked like he was over. From a 12-year-old, I watched yeah. people a lot growing up, having to like find my safety in a crowd because mm-hmm. of how I grew up. You kind of like learn how to read people a little bit, mm-hmm. and he just looked over it.
Yeah, that's a bad therapist. Well, this is a shout out to people that have tried therapy and they didn't like the therapist. You can find
yes.
another one. You need to try to keep going to another one. Like
yeah.
Because you guys would agree that it is helpful, right?
Yeah.
Like a good therapist is helpful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like this.
Mine listens to the music, to the fire music I send her. I accidentally texted her yesterday and I sent her a song and she like watched a music video for it. Wow. She's like, I thought you were giving me homework before a therapy session.
I don't even have my therapist phone number. I don't want to ask though.
No? No. Just text her.
I don't want to bridge that. He hugs me.
I thought that was after. Like.
Yeah, that.
I think that was okay.
Yeah, but like, I don't want. I feel like I would annoy the hell out of him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't want that.
I just show mine fire songs at the beginning of my sessions. But it's like, for me, it's like, that's how I begin. Like, this is how I feel. Like, I don't always have the words to say yeah. how I feel. But I'm like, I've listened to the song over and over. It resonates. Like, this is how I feel. And every time I do it, like, I'll cry and be like, damn, I don't know. I feel that way.
Yeah.
It's different.
You get so. Yeah, some things just come out in therapy because it's like a safe space to like come out and just like, oh, well, this is a part of me that decides that it can't come out anywhere else.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
And I also want to talk about because you believe a lot in astrology, right?
Oh yeah, astrology.
When you were talking about the Saturn devouring his son,
yeah,
I thought about it.
Yeah.
I'm in my Saturn return. So your Saturn return happens 27 to 30 years into your life. It's like your spiritual maturity. And my Saturn is in Capricorn. And if you know anything about Capricorn, it's sort of like the structural kind of building something sound. It's more analytical.
Yeah.
And that is like my weak spot. I'm such a like a chaotic creative that same. So many things get lost in the sauce.
Yeah. Well, lost in the sauce. To the people that are listening that don't believe in astrology, well, you better believe it. Just kidding.
It's real. Heard it here first.
Honestly, though, like the more I read into my astrology, and like my therapist was like, I told my therapist, like, yeah, my horoscope said this, and he's like, you should follow it if it's like gonna be good for you, like whatever it is.
Oh yeah.
I mean, okay, here's my argument to people who say astrology is not real. Like, if you believe the moon moves the water on Earth, there has to be some effect with the stars. I'm not saying it's exact, but there's something. So keep an open mind, please. Anyways, what's everyone's sun sign? I'm a Gemini.
I'm a Scorpio.
Aries.
You just don't like Scorpio.
Here's my hot take. The only good Scorpio I know is Paulina. All the Scorpios in my life are the best and worst things that have ever happened to me.
Yeah.
Scorpios are the best and worst things that will ever happen to you.
I learned, like, I was talking to her before this and I did my birth chart and I have Pisces in it. So I feel like that's why I am more calm.
Oh, my
I'm
moon.
More, I'm just emotional.
My moon is in Aries. Yeah, so, and my ascending is Leo, which is like the worst combination, I think.
my rising is in Leo.
Oh.
And my sun is Aries, so I got like double fire and the two strongest fires.
Yeah, what's your moon?
My moon is Libra. So like there's this sense of like balancing that I'm trying to accomplish.
So for people that don't know, because I'm still trying to like,
same.
What does the sun do? What does the moon do? And then what does your rising kind of do? Like, how does it affect
you? So your moon is more representative of like your emotional state, like where you go to find that balance emotionally. Your rising is sort of like what you're trying to attain, what you're like going towards. And your sun is the placement of the constellation when you were born. And that's sort of like your base personality.
Your main personality, basically.
Like, I feel like mines are pretty spot on. Because
like
I might seem chill, but there's a lot of intensity going on there. That's what Scorpio is. It's just very intense. And I'm like, wow, I need to chill sometimes.
Yeah, when I find that out, when I go to Cafe Astrology, that's where I used, where I got my, because I had to find out, I asked my mom, Mom, when was I born? Or like, what time?
Yeah.
And she was like, why are you asking? I was like,
I gotta know.
What time were you born?
I don't know, but it was in the morning. So it was like around those areas. Yeah. But, and then the Leo and ascending Leo and moon in Aries, like, oh, this makes sense. Like, especially the ascending in Leo. I'm like, Jesus. I was like, Leos are like, that's,
Yes.
I don't know. I've been learning more because, I don't know, I've been interested. I used to like make fun of it, but now I'm like, it's real.
I think it's like that pop astrology where you find in the newspapers or like you subscribe to it. Yeah. It's very different from when you start looking into charts, alignments, elements. It's sort of like mixing like alchemy in it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like everyone's got to have their, like they have religion, they have science. I mean, like.
Let us have astrology.
Let us have astrology, okay?
We're just trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
In different ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And like sometimes my horoscope is very accurate. And disprove that, atheist.
Dude, I feel like if you're check a Scorpio and you're listening to this, follow Scorpio Mystique. She's amazing. She's amazing.
Scorpios are evil.
No, we're not. I feel like I can be a little obsessive, but then I realize like if I'm gonna be obsessive, it's not like in a negative way. It's like I'm gonna put all my energy into like this thing and make something work out of it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, it works in my career field.
Yeah.
Just putting yourself all in it. And you're like, wow.
I mean, like,
things are amazing. I'm like,
yeah, people always have theories about everything. Like,
yeah.
But you always see, like, there's always, like, some sort of archetype.
Yes.
They're, like, I don't know, like, you just know that this is that kind of person. Mm-hmm. It's like I identify myself with Kanye.
Yeah.
And a little bit
with Gemini too.
See, if you, yeah, he's, you know who else is Gemini?
Who?
Trump.
See,
these are the these are the spectrums of Geminis.
We can, I think, be very Beyonce's good kids will bring it. Bad. Bring the name back.
The Scorpio back.
No, what, they're Gemini? Geminis.
Oh, are they Geminis?
Yeah.
What is Beyonce?
She's a Virgo.
Oh. What is Jay-Z?
He's December. So what's December?
Sagittarius.
Oh.
You know what though? I went to a psychic and she was like, "You're a healer," and I was like, "What?"
Oh, do you guys know your Myers-Briggs? What's your Myers-Briggs?
INFP.
Oh, dang. I used to be an INFP, and then I became ENFP.
That's me.
Are you
Is
ENFP?
It the campaigner?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
Oh,
me.
Shit. Yeah, we're all NFPs
Intuitive
here.
Intuitive feelers and perceivers.
Yeah, we're like the worst of them all.
I thought those were the best, ENFP.
No, we're the idealists, the idiots, apparently. But I love it. I was like, no, the NFPs are where it's at.
Yeah.
I just turned into an E because I was so tired. What is that?
It's my phone. Somebody's texting me.
Silence your phone.
Continue.
Yeah. No, but yeah, the NFPs, yeah, we're just always said like we're too idealistic.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's why I got pissed because I was like, you know what? I'm tired of being an INFP. Not that there's nothing wrong. I loved it. But I was like, I want to. Extrovert this ideals in my head into the real world.
That's that fire you're talking
yeah
to you,
it's
Matt.
Like I'm tired of this. I want it out there, so I took it.
I'm trying to like take more chances on social stuff so I can build that introverted out into extroverted.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's not that easy.
Yeah.
I get really exhausted when I'm around a lot of people for a while. Yeah. Like I need to go home and recoup for a couple days.
Exactly.
So I can't shake that part of me. Maybe that has to do with like my hypersensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
Like just having the ability to pick up on so much. It's like, oof, okay.
Yeah. But you'd be surprised in like how much like you could change, you know?
Yeah.
Like what, like just like if you ask me like, would I be in this position like 3 years ago? Like, would I feel this way? My dumb ass would have said, nah, dude, I'll never feel that way. But you can change. And it's like, you got to believe in it first, you know?
Yeah.
You got to, because I feel like, especially when you're in the deep, like doubts of depression, you're just stuck in your mind is just like thinking the same thing over and over and over and over again. That it's never going to get better. Like, this is going to be forever. But you just need a little bit of a nudge of like, it doesn't have to be this way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, if you're listening to this, this is the little small nudge that's saying that like, hey, it doesn't have to be like that all the time. Like, you know.
What's really true. Last year, around the same time, like this is when I was dealing with like head on with my trauma. And I couldn't be in public spaces. If I like was around a guy, I would go into a panic attack. Like I remember when I first moved back to Fresno, I was on the Greyhound and this guy sat next to me and I was just full on panicking. Like I couldn't breathe. I couldn't be in like the bus. I couldn't like talk to people that were out of my comfort zone just because I was like 6 years old for the whole like summer. Mm-hmm. And it just took continuously putting myself in like a place of discomfort to like be where I am today, where I can talk to anybody, I can go up to anybody, I can do anything, and it's crazy. But it is possible.
Yeah.
It's just healing, and it's like trusting yourself and breathing through everything.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is possible.
What do you do when you're like in discomfort, like to push yourself? Like, you know, obviously you've been trying with being more social, but like in the past, what have you like, what are you proud of, you know, that you've accomplished? That you've moved past?
Okay. So I come from a family where I have 5 other siblings. And I'm the only one who took the route to stay in therapy and to deal through my trauma. So something that I'm very proud of myself is working through it. Like waking up, feeling miserable one day, like kind of hopeless. And going to bed and waking up. And just going through it. There could be like months where I don't feel like I'm accomplishing anything outside of me, but inside, like, these really big pieces are moving. Mm-hmm. And now I've become a person to all my siblings, they all go to advice for. Mm-hmm. Even parenting advice, and I'm not even a parent. It's like, what do I do? I'm like, okay, you have to talk with them.
Yeah,
you have to make sure that you're going to have their back. Like, just little things. So being able to explore my trauma and my emotions, and being able to be there for my family who is still swimming through it. Mm-hmm. That's an accomplishment, because for a while there growing up, it just felt like we were all drowning, you know?
Yeah. You got to save yourself first, and then you can
help
other people.
That's amazing. That's like, it takes a lot of courage to like just face what nobody else has faced, because you don't have anyone to like look up to. You don't have like an example. Like, you have to like figure it out on your own, fail on your own, and just like feel it.
Yeah, you're kind of a pioneer in that sense.
Exactly. And I know we had mentioned like intergenerational trauma before this. I feel like that's a huge thing. Like, when you decide to be the one person to like be like, no, actually, I don't want to pass this on to my family.
Yeah.
It hurts a lot.
Yeah.
It hurts a lot.
It really does.
I think that's where like art has kind of saved me, or being creative.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you make art or you're a creative person, you're on the frontier of knowing. And it's sort of like the chase is kind of worth it enough. And I've applied that to healing myself, or like sifting through all the stuff that I don't know about within myself and my family. And that includes all the intergenerational trauma.
Yeah.
It's like we're getting the same trauma that our mothers got, and then their mothers. And it just keeps going back. And I have no idea how far back it goes.
That's true.
But all I know is what I can do in my life and in my moments that I share with my family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's there's been like this mode of silence around the pain and the trauma.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's healthy at all.
Yeah.
And I've always been the one to bring it up or start those conversations, or to just sit there and listen to like my sister just unravel it for herself. It's one thing to tell someone, this is what's happening and this is what you're going through. And it's another thing for them to unravel it and find it themselves, because the knowledge is worth more in the end if they do it themselves.
Yeah. That there needs to be, sorry, there needs to be like a stop into the, you know, because if you really think about it, like, I feel like that's why parents become their parents,
because
that's the only way they know how to take care of somebody.
Mm-hmm.
It's like how their parents took care of them. Like, especially since the last podcast with the single parents, or they're not single, but their parents. But we need to, this is kind of a concept that I've been like thinking about. Like, I love my heritage and my past, but at the same time, I don't want to be beholden to that past. Because if I'm beholden to the past, I'm also beholden for all my past mistakes, all the shit that's happened. So, you know, like, I'm still trying to find out the balance of like, do I have to take it or leave it, or do I have to, or could I just like take the good parts that I liked from my past and then like continue that instead of like carrying all the baggage with it, you know? Because I don't want to, like, I hate thinking about the past anymore. Like, at the same
time, I'm tired of dealing with it.
Yeah. Sometimes we're living in the past and thinking about the future.
Yeah.
We're never living in the moment.
I think I've finally come to a place, like, I went to therapy yesterday and I was like, I'm tired of digging into these wounds. Like, I'm over it. Not like over it, but I'm like, I'm ready to let go. Like, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm tired of living here. It's time to be in my present.
Yeah.
But also going back to what you said on like speaking up, especially like that's a huge thing in families when you're the first one to do it. Because when I think of like my experience, like I feel like the reason I have so many blessings, I feel like I have my family like that have passed away, like looking at me, people that I don't even know that like took that abuse and that trauma so that I can be here and I can be alive.
Yeah, exactly.
Because from my grandma's side, like in Mexico, like my grandpa stole her. She did not want to be married to him. He was abusive. And I think about that a lot, that she had to live through that and she didn't complain or anything so that I can be here. And I'm like,
yeah,
I finally decided like, no, like I'm not going to be quiet about this abuse, you know, like if it's sexual abuse, like within the family, especially like, no, because so many women before me have been silenced.
Yeah.
And it's like, it has to stop at some point.
Yeah. And we have the power to stop it. You know, we don't have to keep passing on whatever the past has given us. We could always overcome it. Yeah. But I think we're almost out of time. Any last words?
Wait. Any advice?
Any advice? Any parting advice that you would give to our listeners?
Could I read a poem?
Sure.
Yeah.
That'd be dope.
The birds are singing in anticipation of the sunrise. My eyes are playing peekaboo with the living while I ache to cry at a decibel that is able to be heard. As it may be, I bang on tambourines and drums and the bustle that is my soul while above ground. The sand is gray and begs for a shape to uphold. This colorless otherness of shifts and dunes and dying and thirst for waters unseen in a forgotten yesterdream. I pray my soul to breathe a fire not so stricken of my death-defying dreams. In ash and dust and life and breath, I move, I step, I step, I step. And it's just about carrying on, even though you may not feel it that day.
Who's that by?
Me.
Oh, you did? Oh, no. That's beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
No problem.
Yeah.
I don't have no words.
You have no words?
No. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for the beautiful poem.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, thanks for being on. Thanks for talking and like being open and like.
Yeah, and for the art.
Yeah, for the art, for the logo. Yeah,
you know, I met you at the mixers and you just gave me like a quote. And like when I was like, we need to make art, I just remembered that I had met you and that I liked that quote. And I was like, I should ask her.
Yeah, that's dope. Yeah, well, that's going to be it for us today. Please, I don't know.
Where do we follow you?
Yeah, where do you follow you?
Gooey Stranger on Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm at Art Hop tonight.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be there too.
Cool. What? You hate Art Hop.
Oh, wait, don't say that on the podcast. Okay. No, I'm helping out a friend. Okay. So I'll be at Laguna Collective.
Okay.
1418 Fulton. Okay. Yeah. I have to film something for them. So what am I parting advice? I don't know. Meditate. Try something new. Mm-hmm. Or like the puzzles. Oh, yeah. Every lesson I'm learning is from that puzzle. You know, it might look like a mess. Your life might look like a mess. But if you could just get one piece in the right place, that's enough. That's all you gotta do. Then you could walk away, then do more the next day. But you're one step closer. You're one piece closer to getting the full picture. Mm. So that's
beautiful.
That's my quote. Because thank you. That was the only thing I've been thinking about. Like, this is like life. So just make a puzzle. Solve all your problems. Just make a puzzle. But yeah, that'll be Boys Who Cry. Episode 4. We'll see you next week. I don't know when this is coming out. Monday, Friday. But
no,
yeah.
It's not coming out today.
No, I have like too much things to do today. Okay. So maybe tomorrow. But yeah, please follow on Facebook. We have a Facebook now. We have a Twitter at Boys Do Cry Pod. We have an Instagram at Boys Do Cry Pod. We have Facebook. We're all on the socials. We're trying to get the message out there. Please listen to Boys Do Cry. I want to make t-shirts one day.
Yeah.
Because I want that. And if we make t-shirts of your art, we'll give you the royalties. You know, give back.
Yeah. Well, I give back to support.
So. Yeah. So we'll
do what you will.
It's all coming back. But yeah, thank you for listening and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.